Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Mike DeCamp, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host.
Hello, it's Nancy DeCamp. Glad to see you, or hear you, or talk with you.
Or something like that. Yeah, and we're happy to be here today. Today is just us. We're just going to have a conversation about creative stuff today. I think the topic today is leaning into creativity. This was Nancy's concept, and I'm going to let her kind of run the show here after we get past the creative indulgences.
But, which is what we always start with, right?
Yeah.
Listeners are used to that.
Always start with creative indulgences.
With that, Mike, why don't you share your most recent creative indulgence?
I always try to do that.
You always find a way.
Always find a way to get me to go first. That's okay. And today it's just the two of us, so we'll see. And this very well may be a shorter podcast, which I'm sure won't hurt your listening ears' feelings. So here we go. My creative indulgence this week, Nancy. First of all, I'm still reading Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. Mm-hmm. Which is a fantasy that I picked up. Well, I got it for Christmas, I think. But the idea of reading Brandon Sanderson came from when I was working the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show, and one of the guys across the way was reading his book. So still reading that. But the one I really want to talk about is The Madison.
Okay.
It's a TV series by Taylor Sheridan.
Ever-prolific Taylor Sheridan with all of his shows, right?
Ever prolific. Be interesting to interview Taylor Sheridan, but this is a new series on Paramount TV, Paramount Plus, that stars Michelle Pfeiffer and Kurt Russell.
Yep.
Let me just say, it is a departure from the typical Taylor Sheridan type of show, which tends to be kind of a hard-driving, kind of high testosterone kind of stuff, you know, from Yellowstone to The Mayor of Kingstown.
Right.
To Landman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tulsa King. These are all Taylor Sheridan shows. Well, right. This is much more take a knife or a ice pick and stick it right through your heart kind of a.
Oh, goodness.
Kind of a show. It's highly emotional. It still has some of the extremes of personalities that you see in some of the other series, but man.
Which that leads me to, I think I shared with you a conversation. So I do a particular martial art. And one of my partners, we were talking this week, and she was like, we should totally get a show made that takes older women, middle-aged to older women, the people who, as they start vanishing in population, right? And people underestimate and don't listen to anymore. And the show should all be based on them. But the reality is they're assassins. So we were sparring. We were practicing some stuff the other day and we had this whole conversation. And I was like, we should get Taylor Sheridan. But I thought, well, I don't know that he would really do that. But based on this new show, there could the balance between the coming and get you and the emotional heart strings.
Well, he's awfully... Let me try that again. He is obviously showing his range.
Yes.
In this series. I think I'm three or four episodes into it. The first episode, it's beautiful scenery. It's fishing. There's men out, they're out
the
there.
Fly fishing
for trout. And it's just, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, where's the story? And then wham,
it hits you.
It just hits you right across your jaw and knocks you for a loop. And that's the first episode. But you've got these New York grown up people who never have been out of New York City for anything to speak of, used to living in the city, used to not having any wildlife or any kind of anything around them, having all the conveniences of wealth, and they end up getting transported to the middle of nowhere, Montana.
Right.
It's got two or three cabins on a stream in the middle of nowhere. And what they're trying to adapt to this for a particular reason,
sure,
which I won't go into because it'll spoil the first episode. Right. It's quite a show. I'm enjoying it, but boy, it rips at your heartstrings.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about creatives like Taylor Sheridan, I do appreciate when they are very focused and very good, a subject matter expert, so to speak, on what they do. But I really love it when they're able to do more than one genre or thing as well. I think there's an appreciation for both of those avenues, and the fact that he's doing that is kind of cool.
Yeah. The thing about Taylor Sheridan, I think, is that he's got a great story too. I think it'd be great to interview him because, and I may have spoken about this sometime in the past, but kind of getting a little bit on his background, he was an actor who basically 15, 16 years ago was told, well, you're never going to be, you know, there's 1,000 men just like you. You're never going to be the main dude or something to that effect. It was very discouraging. Dude. It was very discouraging.
Sure.
And he decided that if he was really going to make it, he needed to start writing. Mm-hmm. And so he started writing his own shows. And then
that's when things started happening.
Boy, he's like everywhere now.
Which just goes to show you sometimes rejection leads you into a better direction.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now, I don't know how he finds the time to do all the different things he's doing now. So it's kind of impressive.
Yeah. He's got people.
He's got people doing some of it.
He has to have people.
Yes, eventually you get people. Nancy, what's your creative indulgence?
Well, it's not as high artsy as yours, but one of the things that I've come to appreciate now as we are in spring, and Easter's certainly part of that, but spring is that I see a lot of things online and magazines and what have you on creative food, baking projects, decor. And I'm just so impressed by how much creativity there is for these little hobbies and crafts. Like there might be a instruction on how to make a charcuterie board and you lay it out in a way and it looks like a bunny, you know, or baking where you bake a cake and, or cupcakes and you make it look like this or that when it comes to spring flowers or something. I think of the Great British Baking Show, you know, this is your challenge, make this. And even decor, you know, take this random acorn and turn it into, it just, I don't know. I'm just very impressed and been kind of pulled in, leaned in. My creative side has really leaned into a lot of these things. And while I'm not going to be hosting a big Easter brunch or anything this year, we typically connect with our daughters every week for a lunch. And I have some creative plants for them just based on some of that fun stuff that I've seen. So that's would be, I would say, is my creative indulgence this time.
So cool. You going to share anything about what you're going to create for the girls?
No. Maybe on a future episode, you'll have to listen again.
All right. So maybe we'll share about that as a follow-up after we see how it goes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Nancy, what's our topic today?
Okay. So I had this random thought. You know, many or all of us have a certain amount of creativity or at least appreciation for it. So I thought, I wonder what creative ventures others would pursue if given the opportunity. So on a random Friday afternoon at work, I went into our chat with a group of my colleagues and I said, hey, random Friday afternoon question for any of you who want to share. The question is, if money, time, and ability were not an issue, what creative activity would you lean into that you would love to do or do more of and why? And the messaging blew up.
Really?
It was like, oh, this, and why would you do it? Oh, because of that or what? And I was just like, I said something to Mike. I was like, Mike, this is really interesting. So he and I, in turn, posted a little thing on Facebook and said, hey, friends, family, ask the same question. And we've gotten a lot of answers. So we thought we would discuss today the kinds of things.
It was that funny yesterday when this was all going down.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my office and I was working on, I don't know, some book related stuff, probably sending emails out to Barnes and Noble bookstores. But all of a sudden I hear Nancy, she's like, "Hey, Mike."
I was like, "I got a ton of people talking about a ton of stuff.
It blew up.
We should maybe talk about this because maybe it will encourage our listeners to think about, well, what could, and maybe encourage them to lean into that creativity side of themselves.
Yeah. So have you read the question out loud yet?
Yes, I just did.
Okay. So shows you that my brain goes one way when you're talking. Oops, sorry.
All of a sudden, my voice becomes wah, 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 wah. So I'll read it again, though.
All right.
If money, time, and ability were not an issue, what creative activity would you love to do more of, or lean into, and why?
All right. Well, why don't you share one? Let's share one and see where the conversation goes.
All right. I will share... one of my colleagues said they would make custom menswear clothing again. And background, this person used to have a shop of their own where they made custom clothing for men. And it was interesting because as he was sharing, I was like, "Well, is there a particular type?" And he's like, "I loved creating menswear for special events or seasons, like a suit that someone's going to wear for their wedding." Or, you know, something along that nature. But he said he found out recently that the old building shop store that he had is getting ready to open up, turning it into an emo themed coffee shop. And he, due to his age and interests and such, he was like, "I thought that's perfect. A perfect shift from the clothing store he once had."
I can't imagine. I guess maybe this is just my lack of any knowledge at all on how you make clothes, but.
And there are custom tailors here in town. This colleague is not in our local city, but even in our local city, there are custom tailors.
I know. And how do people get into that these days?
I think it's family connection?
I guess it could be. Yeah, I guess there's certain industries, like being a tailor, that used to be a big thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's clothes, after a certain level, everybody's clothes were very much tailored.
Right.
You know, they were made. And then eventually you had these big box stores,
right,
and
mass Sears produced,
Sears Roebuck, all that mass produced it. And you just bought your XLs
and
your
warehouse.
Right. And then so local tailor shops became less and less and less and less. And it just makes me wonder how somebody actually gets into that these days.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
And you know, there was a time back in the day when we used to wear suits into the offices all the time. I randomly looked up one of the custom tailors in town to see, like, well, randomly, what would it cost to get a woman's suit made? And it really wasn't more, maybe a smidge more than what you would buy at the, you know, local department store or specialty store. And it would be custom fit for you because, you know, everybody's different.
Right.
And so we go and we buy these things from the big box stores and. You know,
yeah, you know what? In the last couple of times I've bought a suit, mm-hmm. I haven't bought a suit now for 10, 11 years, but last time I bought a suit, I went to a big box store.
Yeah.
That, you know, they claim, you know, they'll like hem it to the right length, the pants,
do all the little alterations.
Yeah. I'm never satisfied with
that. Right. Right. It's not the same.
It just never seems to fit quite right. So, you know, maybe there should be a resurgence of custom made clothing.
Yeah.
You know, from people like your coworker.
Yeah.
So he would lean back into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Which would be a creative side. Now, mind you, where we work in a very business corporate kind of people manager kind of role. So a change in lane from what we currently do. One of my other colleagues, he said he would love to start a tour guide agency that designs interesting travel experiences for people. Now, I know he loves to travel, so I totally see this.
Oh, yeah. Him. Yeah.
But I was like, well, what would be an interesting travel experience, right?
Right. And, you know, there are companies out there who almost do that.
Yeah. I mean,
like we went to Yellowstone a couple of years ago, and this is kind of an high-end touring company that we got into through a relative that we did, that they do smaller groups and they're very customized.
Yeah.
But I think he's talking about, or she, I'm not sure.
It's a he.
You know, talking about completely customizing a trip.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I'm not sure.
Especially how to a person's interests.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You'd have to have a full interview with them. You know, what are you into? What do you enjoy? What do you want to see?
Yeah.
And make the long list and then create the custom experience. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mike, do you have a response in your question that stuck out?
Well, one that I kind of was a little bit surprised by. This person said, I would love to get back into dancing again. I used to swing dance regularly, but the schedule just doesn't give me an opportunity to meet everyone for it right now.
Interesting. You know, there's swing dance opportunity. Isn't it in Fountain Square where they have like on Friday nights an open swing dance? I feel like one of our nephew used to.
Yeah, our nephew used to do swing dancing.
Yeah.
And I think, one of our daughters is doing tap right now. So there's definitely some dance opportunities out there. But
yeah.
I think sometimes it's just surprising when you find out, oh, this was an interest you had.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Whereas I expected my colleague who said travels all the time. So it's like, totally get it. My friend who talked about menswear and creating, I know he used to do that. So that's not out of line, but this was somebody you're like, didn't know this about them.
And I think sometimes we just don't know each other as well as we think we do.
Yeah.
So, you know, for your colleague, you knew about the travel, so that wasn't a surprise. For me, this person, I've known them for a number of weeks, but not close enough to know that this was a thing that they used to enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Maybe we don't know our friends as well as we know our friends.
Yeah, right. That speaks to the point of one of my colleagues said, this is going to be so niche and very telling, ... But she said, I have always wanted to create a rock opera musical based on the music from Sting, a la kind of like Mamma Mia was a musical based on the music of ABBA.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that is very niche and unique and telling of this person, but I wouldn't have expected that this was something that she wanted to. She's thought about this, right? Uh-huh. To give that specific of an answer. I loved it.
By Sting, music by Sting.
No, Styx.
Oh, Styx. Oh, music by Styx. I thought you said Sting. Yeah, it's kind of the Styx music is almost operatic.
Yes.
To begin with,
yeah. Right? So you could plug that around a story and use all the songs like they did with the ABBA music and Mamma Mia.
Right, right. Well, you know what that makes me think of? And definitely the Styx and Mamma Mia stuff is higher end. But I was thinking about the Bee Gees when they did the movie. What was that movie? They had an album with it too. It was a takeoff of the Beatles. Oh, what is it called?
I'm drawing a blank, but
it was the 1970s, and it was they took all the Beatles songs and they redid them as the Bee Gees, and then they made a movie following the storyline.
We probably have a listener out there screaming at the podcast. That's this.
Well, I probably still have the album downstairs because we've got a lot of my old albums in storage, right? So maybe we'll have to go look that up. But it was like, it made me think of that. You know, somebody somewhere took those Beatles songs and turned it into a storyline and made a movie with it. But they had the Bee Gees do the songs. Hmm. Of course, the Beatles weren't together by then. So.
Right, right.
Huh. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, my other one I think I will share this one said, I would be a full-time reseller and thrifter and be goodwill hunting treasure finder.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I like that. I have a conservationist mindset of reduce, reuse, recycle kind of thing. It would take some creativity to have an eye for what you purchased and sold and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of mine said that they would become fluent in more languages, which this individual is fluent in some. But when I asked what, they said they wanted to be more fluent in Spanish and they wanted to be fluent in Russian. And I think they said Arabic. I'm trying to look through I'm looking through the chat right now to see if I can find it. But I was like, yeah, Arabic would be the next targets. He said he would want to be 100% fluent in Spanish and Russian, and he'd try to get five total. Portuguese, probably, and then Arabic would be his next target.
I would think Arabic would be hard.
I would think so, too.
Maybe not as hard as Chinese. I've heard that Chinese is really hard.
Yeah.
But wow. That seems, well, I started to say it'd be very foreign to me.
Right?
That's kind of without being spoken.
Ha, ha. Que bueno, Mike. Que bueno. One of my colleagues said she would like a Highland cow sheep farmer. That's what she'd like to be. With a coffee tea shop open to the public. She goes, I just crave the simple life. And I asked her, I said, well, would you have in your coffee shop like items, products of like the cows or the sheep? And she was like, no, they would just be there to make people happy. I like that. I like that.
One of mine said, I'd create movies, music, books, and more successful authors.
Okay.
This is an author friend.
So they would create more.
He's written a couple of books already. Yeah. Yeah, he would create movies and music in addition to his books and more successful authors. So if he wants to help me be more successful, you know, I'm not going to stand in his way, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
One of my colleagues said he'd love to learn how to DJ, and more specifically, DJ techno music. He said either that or stand up, but although I don't think I'm brave enough to actually do stand up. There was somebody else who said they would like to do acting, singing lessons, and stand up, but again, too afraid to do stand up. But when I asked him, I said, why techno? And he's just said, over the last 4 years, he's really gotten into techno music. And so, you know, being able to mix and mash it up would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other person who said they wanted acting, singing, or stand up if they were brave enough said literally anything to get me to Hollywood and make me rich. And I was like, okay, so it is about, that acting, singing, and stand up enjoyment, you know, lean into, or is it the get rich part that's you want to get there through that avenue? You
know? One of mine says world famous singer, and in parentheses says, you said that, was it? You said ability didn't matter. So she wanted to be a world famous singer. You know, which brings me around to a lot of people really want to be successful actors, actress, singer, performer. Mm-hmm. They want to be famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until they experience the famousness.
Yeah. I don't know.
All of a sudden they can't go out to dinner without being bothered. They can't walk down the street without paparazzi. It's like, do you really want that?
I know myself, my natural tendency is to be more private and to myself. You want to know about me, then fine, let's talk one-on-one. But I don't think I would enjoy the fame. The fortune, yeah.
I think you.
But the fame,
From my respect, you know, as an author, I think I would appreciate it to a point. You know, I appreciate it when people really like my books. And I've had some people reach out to me and tell me they really appreciate, really like the book.
Yeah.
And my most recent one. And I appreciate that. I enjoy the interaction with people, but I think after a while, if every single place you went, you can't buy gas, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't go to the drugstore and, you know, get
You want flexibility in life.
It's like after a while, I see why they kind of dress down and put on sunglasses and hats.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And stuff and kind of hide who they are because they can't go through life without being, somewhat bothered. I guess there's a trade-off there. So you gotta choose what's important to you, right?
Yeah.
So somebody else put, I had two one-word answers. One said watercolor.
Yeah.
I guess she wants to be a watercolor.
Yeah, to paint and to do that.
Watercoloring, which you and I have tried. I've done it. I did a little bit. Yours was better than mine.
I don't know.
I was thinking about our Thanksgiving pictures a couple of,
but that wasn't watercolor.
Was that acrylic?
That was acrylics, and they're harder to work with because they are quick to dry and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a bit of a mess for me, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And the other one word answer was interior design.
Mm-hmm.
I have no concept on interior design. I know. You know, aesthetically, you know, you got to know the negative space as well as the, you know, like.
It's funny. We were just talking earlier today about we need to get your office in order and this and that. You're like, oh, I'm thinking about this and then doing this. And in my head, I'm thinking too much, Mike, too much. We gotta figure this out. But so I'm going to interject here for a second, because one of the things I thought was interesting, made me think of another famous artist, is that my techno DJ colleague said, jokes aside, I thought about creating sounds with my mouth. He goes, which is something that I already do to bother my girlfriend at home. But he goes, and mix those sounds in with the techno music. And it made me think about Bobby McFerrin.
Uh-huh.
And how he, you know, has created songs, sings, but uses his mouth and his body to make additional music to those songs. I always thought that was always interesting. I always enjoyed that.
It made me think of one of the fifth grade teachers in my elementary school, I believe his name was Mr. Hinton. And he used to go around making a horn sound with his mouth.
Yeah,
it sounded like a trumpet or whatever, but it's just him.
Yeah, just doing that
all the time. And so every time you saw him, he's making this sound with his mouth.
One of my colleagues, she was saying she would love to live in a big farm with many cows and horses and like 5 golden retrievers, 5 Dalmatians, and adopt more dogs. She likes to do big gatherings with lots of food and drinks and perhaps have parties there for her friends. So.
Well, you'd be all about the dogs in the party.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would.
Well, I had one guy says raptor propagation. So specifically, I can't pronounce it, Aplomado falcon.
Okay, so big.
It's a big raptor bird.
Bird of prey.
Yeah. There's one in particular that apparently is endangered along the Mexico border region, but he's really into falconry. And he would lean into the propagation of that species.
Yeah.
So that sounds interesting.
I had two or three that said that they would write a book, a novel, or short stories. I was like, well, you can.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah. You know, here's the key to writing a book or a short story is to sit down and start writing it. Yeah. Not just thinking about it, but
yeah,
actually sit down and start tapping keys. Well, you know, I wouldn't know where to begin. Well, you just begin where you begin, and then you can go back and refine it. You can go back and change it, add on to it. That's how the books are created. I'll do a rough draft, and then I go back through and I like revise.
Right.
So it's just a matter of starting. You know, I forget the name of the movie, but it had Sean Connery in it as this author. He was kind of mentoring a young man, a high school age guy. And he was like, tap the keys.
Just tap the keys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get it started. One of my colleagues, he said that they would love to write a novel or short stories. I was like, well, what genre do you have a particular genre? And she replied with, well, historical fiction, perhaps new fiction, more layered coming of age and human condition dynamics. She goes, it's really like all my side projects that I currently do revolve around that. I love that. That's cool that she knows very specifically those areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a lot of people say photography or music.
Yes. I had a couple of people on my Facebook page say photography, but just because of all the beauty of nature that God's created. Yeah. Or once was interesting, said that she'd like to do photography, but then she would like to have either no fee or low charge class where she would teach people photography who perhaps didn't have access to, you know, courses and kind of training and that kind of thing. I thought that was.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have some friends on Facebook that they post regularly where they, you know, their hobby is photography.
Yeah.
And they're quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one I was in youth group with when I was in high school. Linda's pictures are really, really good.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed watching her post those. Usually she goes on vacation or someplace, maybe in the Smoky Mountains or something, and she catches bears and she catches a lot of different stuff. It's just really, really cool pictures.
Yeah.
So, I think photography is an awesome, awesome hobby mm-hmm. to get into.
And you have to have an eye. You know, we visited some friends recently that their son really has made his living as a well-known, world-renowned photographer. And, you know, one of my questions was, well, who gave him that first camera? And they were like, eh, he just kind of got into it on his own in high school, started and leaned in, right? Leaned in, and it's turned into a successful career for him.
Well, there's a lot to learn when it comes to photography. When it comes to lenses, and then there's kind of the rule of thirds where you kind of position something within the frame and all that. But it's become, I want to say, less inhibiting because of digital photography, because now, and I'm not talking about enhancing the photograph with AI. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the fact that you can take a gajillion pictures and it doesn't cost you a gajillion dollars to get it developed.
Right.
Whereas back, you know, when we were young.
Yeah, when you had a camera and you had to send the film away to get developed. And
I might have a roll of film with 25 shots on it and only 10 of them turn out decent because, you know, I'm shaking the camera or whatever. But it's, you know, now you can take, you know, 150 pictures and get, you know, without any extra expense.
Right.
So I think from that sense, it becomes more affordable for the average person. Yeah. But learning to use the
Because you're already talking about
and the
thirds.
Lighting. And
you're already way beyond what I'm a point and click, and I'm not a very good point and clicker.
And Nancy Ottens will be out on a hike, and she'll be like, you know, there'll be some other couple trying to take a picture. She'll be like, would you like us to take your picture? And they'll say, well, sure. And she's like, good, I'll get my husband to do it.
Right, because I'm not good. My family has convinced me, and I don't argue with them.
There's
that
two
I'm not
things,
great
Nancy,
at it.
Nancy can kickbox. She can kickbox like nobody's business. She can do
that.
A lot of good stuff. But there's two things she can't do. Photography and throwing accurately.
Something, yeah. We'll be like, hey, throw me the remote or throw me that pillow. And, you know, it goes in the opposite direction of where I
hit a lamp or something. Go ahead, Nancy.
All right. Well, one of my colleagues said, well, at this stage in life, I would retire to Provence in France and spend my time gardening, like vegetables, herbs, flowers, and cooking and baking. And maybe there would be a Highland cow in there for our colleague who liked the Highland cows, but I did always want to take cobbling lessons, learning how to make shoes. Plus she goes, I'd be absolutely fabulous wearing Parisian clothes. And then somebody else popped in and I was like, oh, there's an interesting travel destination for our colleague to take people to. And he was like, yeah, you can come to my place in Provence and hang out with me and Snoop Dogg and Martha, which I thought was funny.
Absolutely. Well, I've kind of run through my list, Nancy. You got a couple more?
I'm glancing through. Somebody said it's not creative, but I would love to own or have the top real estate brokerage firm in New York City. I thought, well, that is kind of creative and interesting with the type of real estate that you would find in New York City. And then I think on my personal, I was going to look at a couple there. There was a lot of interest in photography. There was a lot of interest in, art and creating. Somebody mentioned that they would love to create, paint and draw the way that our daughter Angela does, which was sweet, sweet to see that answer. And she certainly appreciated that. And then a lot of people said that they would get into dance. You know, square dance, ballroom, even hip hop. Let me see if there was anything else. Music, playing piano. Somebody, a relative, always wanted to play a string instrument, like a violin.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting to see what people are interested in, given time, money, ability, what they would lean into.
Well, Nancy, what would you lean into?
Well, it's funny because we went through this whole conversation and I told everybody, I said, thanks so much for playing along. This was a fun, and it was a good kind of stress reliever. It was a late Friday afternoon that we did this. And I said, and to be honest, I'm kind of data mining. I said, I'm thinking of doing my husband and I's podcast on this. I won't share any names, obviously. I'll keep it anonymous, but I appreciate your answers. And then one of my colleagues goes, Nancy, did we miss yours? Did you share? And I was like, dang it.
I didn't want
to
share.
Oh, you're just too sharp, which they laughed at. And my answer to them, which I might add one thing to it, is that I would probably get back into music. I recently had my piano tuned, which it hadn't been done in years. And I've started playing some more and more, just sitting down for 15 minutes and playing here or there. And perhaps learn other instruments, because I have here in the home, I have a guitar, I have a ukulele, I have a kalimba. So music, I think, is something I would definitely lean into. I've always appreciated instrumental, vocal, all of that. And then I said, I'd love to take items much like your person and upscale them to be aesthetically pleasing and useful again. So your person who was going to get things in resale, hit the Goodwill to shop around. I would like that. And then I said, my most recent thought I've seen is a lot where people take little rocks and paint them and leave them places. And it was funny, the person who asked me that, she goes, that is so fun. She goes, and the rocks is the most Nancy thing I've ever heard. Would add such random small pop of joy to someone's day. I would totally, totally see you do that. And it was funny, I thought. And one of my friends at work is like, well, I'm a camper. And you know what? That's really a thing. Is that at campsites, people leave little painted rocks. And she goes, and I just love them. And when I've been gifted them, everything. So I thought that was fun.
I like that. And it is very Nancy thing to do. Just randomly do something, you know, partially to see if anybody notices. And, you know, I can see you doing that easily. You know, it also made me think of the little rubber duckies that sometimes get left on around.
Oh, well, and to be fair, we did that at work.
What? You left a rubber ducky?
Well, not exactly. So in my team, there's a large group that are based in Dallas, Texas. And then there's a small group. So when I say large group, I say 20 some. And then there's probably six to eight of us that are virtual. We're in other parts of the country. So once or twice a year, usually at least once a year, the virtual people of the team go to Dallas. And when we were there a little over a year ago, did you know that on Amazon for a very, very small fee, you can purchase little yellow ducks that are probably the size of your thumbnail?
They're tiny.
They're tiny.
Tiny little ducks.
I got like 100 of them for next to nothing. And so the virtual team split up the ducks and before we left town, randomly hid them all over the office. We numbered them. Unfortunately, we didn't audit the number because I don't think we got them all completely right. And then right as we left, we used ChatGPT to help us create a newsletter that was kind of like in the tone of Whistle Down with the, you know, the Bridgerton series that people have had. So kind of a Regency era gossip rag and saying something about, we've left 100 ducks here for you to find. And the goal was I hit send and then I'm shutting down my computer to put in the backpack and leave to go to the airport. I barely got that computer shut down. And some of the Dallas managers that were there popped up and started running around the office,
trying to find them.
That competitive spirit. I'm going to find. So that was kind of a fun thing. We left 100 little yellow ducks all around that office before we left town.
I'll tell you folks out there, Nancy is very creative on a number of things. One, she is very creative when it comes to making meals up. She'll make them up. I know. And so I'll be eating something and be like, did you have a recipe for this or did you make it up? And more than often than not, she says, oh, I made it up. And you know, it's delicious. She used to think she could be on one of those shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me one ingredient and tell me to make a 4-course meal. Every entree has to have that particular ingredient. And I was like, oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I can do that one.
The other thing she's exceptional at with creativity is practical jokes. So she's done some pretty stellar practical jokes. Maybe we'll save those for another podcast.
I don't do them all the time.
But when I do. Yeah, it's kind of like that beer commercial, right?
Right. Hold my beer.
she's really good at practical jokes. Now, for my part, I already kind of lean into the creativity stuff with my book writing.
Sure, sure. But what else, Mike?
I do occasional comics. So with my little character, Henry the Preacher. So Henry first showed up on a chalkboard in Williamstown, West Virginia when I was in Bible college. I don't know how I created him. I was just thinking about different cartoons or comics and thinking about how simple the the actual face was. And I thought, well, I'll make one. So I ended up making this little guy named Henry the Preacher. And so I haven't made a new one now for a while, but I did create some Henry comics. And I enjoyed doing that. In my career before, you know, I shifted things before I retired, and now I've kind of restarted with a semi-retired,
but yeah.
But I really liked using creativity to create tools. Like I was in sales, so these were sales-related tools. Yeah. And so I really liked creating those tools and putting my creativity to work in that sense. And
there's a great value in approaching any career with a certain amount of creativity. I mean, if you go through everything, it's checklist, black and white, you could miss opportunity, right?
And when it comes to music, I always wanted to be a musician.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I got a drum set for Christmas one year, which I think my parents regretted that.
Yeah.
Basically, I just banged around on them. Had no rhythm at all.
Yeah.
But you know, I banged around on them. I also had a guitar, which I never learned to play, and I think it came down to just not really understanding music, because music is kind of its own language,
right?
And I didn't really understand it, and I didn't have the discipline or the teacher,
right,
to teach me how to like play that guitar, and I kind of regret that. And when I say that out loud, Nancy's usual response is,
"There's still time,"
which is true. If I wanted to devote myself to it, I could learn how to play the guitar. We have a guitar here that's Nancy's.
Yeah.
So I could do that. I'm just not sure that I'm ready to lean into that, you know, so to speak. So I have a number of interests that are in the creative range. I enjoy drawing. I used to sit in meetings, and if I got sleepy in a meeting, I would draw a floor plan or a house.
Just to keep your mind alert.
Just to keep my mind alert. Mm-hmm. Or I would sketch someone else in the room. And a couple of those actually turned out pretty well. When I was in high school, I took a drafting or a architectural drawing class. And we all had to design a house. And I didn't do the typical like ranch style layout.
Right.
I did a triangle where none of the corners were 90 degrees. And I had not had geometry yet. My teacher was beside himself. You haven't had geometry? I'm like, no. He goes, oh.
So the creative spark was there inside you as a young man.
It was there. Sometimes not always well chosen when I displayed it.
Right, but
it was there. So those are the things I've enjoyed somewhat leaning into. And if I were to lean into them, I think now it would be more into the drawing.
Yeah.
I actually took a drawing class with Angela one time.
Years and years ago
at Heron Saturday School. That was fun.
Yeah.
And I enjoy drawing. So.
You know, and I remember when she first started taking those classes, one of the instructors said something that just resonated with me, that in the drawing class, they weren't teaching them to draw. They were teaching you to see. And I thought, isn't that just mind shift as far as when it comes to art? Is that I'm not just recreating or whatever. I'm seeing the empty space as well as the object.
Seeing the empty space is true, not just in drawing, but it's true in like interior design we were talking about earlier. I remember talking to someone about, you know, interior design for like a church building. And they were talking about, well, we got this big empty wall here. They're like, well, that empty wall is there for the negative space. Make the other thing stand out. I'm like, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, right.
But in drawing, it's very true. You know, I used to think it was all about drawing the lines.
Yeah.
But it's really about seeing the shapes and seeing the shading and knowing where to not put something.
Yeah.
So that it shows the depth in the drawing. So enjoyed that very much. I enjoyed that class. Taking that with Angela.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Well, and I think back to my friend who said that she would love to do photography, but also offer that artistic pursuit to others at a low cost or no cost opportunity. Right. I think there is a need in the world for that kind of thing so that art is exposed to more and more people an appreciation for it at least. But I hope that, I don't know, when I had this conversation and I came out to Mike and said, Mike, we got something here, you know, I was like, it's just so encouraged and refreshed to, you know, people that I work alongside every single day to see added dimensions of their kind of the desires of their hearts. Right. Mm-hmm. And so my encouragement, I guess, to our listeners is, what would that be for you? Mm-hmm. And it could be more than one thing. And maybe consider, is there a way to do one of those things, to lean into that creativity? Because it just adds dimension, depth, and joy to your life.
Absolutely. Lean into it. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to share it with us, drop us a note at michael@authormichaeldecamp.com. And let us know what you're leaning into. Yes, that'd be a lot of fun.
It would be. I would love hearing it.
Yeah. I guess it's random question time.
Random question time.
I'm pulling it this time. I'm pulling the random question.
You're pulling the random question means you have to answer it first.
Well, of course. Of course. That's the way it works. So let's see what it is. We don't have
guessing. Put it back. I'm joking.
Yeah, you may want me to after. If you had the whole world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say or do?
Oh, goodness.
If you had the whole world's attention
for 30 seconds,
how many words
can I get in 30 seconds
or do?
Or what would be the most poignant words?
I think knowing where my heart is at these days is maybe something along the line of, let's teach the whole world to love one another, and we can all get along if we would just love one another.
Yeah.
Something along that line.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be nice if you had a little bit of time to prepare the 30-second speech.
Yeah, hopefully you would.
But it would be something along that line, because I think if we could set aside all the things that we get angry about, all the things that we get afraid of. I think a lot of the stuff that we struggle with and deal with is out of fear. If we can set aside all of these divisive issues and just see people as people, we can learn to love one another.
Yeah.
And we can make a major difference.
Yeah.
In our lives. What about you?
I think I would be along that line, but I think what I would do in my approach to it is to say, you are loved, you are valued, and even in your imperfections as a human, who you are right now today is enough. So turn around and be that for others and lean into exactly what that is. But I think that's what I would tell the world, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter what journey you are on, you make a difference in this world.
Right. All right, folks.
You make a difference in this world.
You make a difference. Lean into something. Lean into creativity. Lean into whatever your heart speaks and make a difference in someone else's life through your creativity. Thank you for listening in on this episode. We want to thank Bill White here for his post-production work and helping us out with that.
Thanks,
and
Bill. Love ya.
We look forward to our next episode coming up. We've got a couple
coming
of...
Coming soon. We've got some people lined up to talk to, you'll have to tune in.
Got a couple of interviews coming. So, folks, with that, we will close out this episode. Thanks for listening in on this episode about leaning into creativity. We'll catch you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormichaeldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormichaeldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.